Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 6. This is the great Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talks a lot about discipleship and what genuine discipleship is all about in this sermon. I love to study the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that he talks about in the middle of the sermon is trusting in the Lord and the way we deal with the material things in our life. And so I want to talk to you about conquering materialism from the words of Jesus here in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, Matthew 6. Listen to our Lord preach. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O man of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I want to discuss this passage and try to give you an understanding of what Jesus is saying, but we got to begin with some disclaimers, first of all. Number one, Jesus is not saying here that it's wrong to be wealthy. He's not saying you can't be wealthy or have a lot of stuff, a lot of possessions. I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's impossible for you to exist in this material world without some material things. You've got to have some stuff. And wealth is really a relative term. It has to do with the amount of possessions that you might have. And you will fall, just like I do, on what I call the earthly wealth scale. And that scale goes from zero, where the person has absolutely nothing, all the way up to Elon Musk, who has everything. Now, somewhere on that scale is where you are. Now, if you own a car, that puts you above zero, doesn't it? Above the guy that doesn't have a car. But if your neighbor has two cars, that puts him up on the scale above you because he's got two cars, you only got one. But he's got a Buick and a Volkswagen. His neighbor has two Cadillacs. Two Cadillacs trump a Buick and a Volkswagen, if you didn't know that. So he's higher on the scale, but then his neighbor has two Lexus. What's the plural of Lexus? Lexi. You got two Lexi. And so on and on and on and on, you're somewhere on that scale. Now you think about it. If you're down here closer to the bottom, where you have little, does that make you more righteous than anybody else on the scale? No. Has nothing to do with how much you have. Has everything to do with what you have and how you view what you have.
Amen.
If you're up higher on that scale, does that mean God loves you more because He's blessing you more? No. Not necessarily. There may be a reason why God doesn't want you to have that Cadillac or whatever it might be. It may be to your benefit. What I'm saying is that we're all on that earthly wealth scale. And if you compared your income and your style of living with what I saw in Bulgaria, you would be way at the top compared to them. So Jesus is not saying it's a sin to be rich. A second disclaimer is, Jesus is not saying we don't have to work to get what we have. He's saying God will take care of you. Yeah, that's true. But He's not saying you can sit back in your lazy boy and do nothing and God's going to send it your way. The Bible teaches us that we were made to work. In fact, Paul told Thessalonians, if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat. You have to work. That's what God intended. So don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. He also uses what I call some foundational facts that we have to keep in mind to understand His teaching here. Jesus uses two terms, life and body. And He uses the term life to represent the fact that you have existence. You are. You have being. And He, I think, assumes that you understand that life can continue on after this realm. There is what is called afterlife. That's what we call it. But it's still life. You're going to continue to exist, to live, even beyond this realm. But another term He uses is body, because body represents the house, the container, in which your life is now housed while you exist in this realm. You cannot exist in this physical, material realm without a physical, material body. And so He uses these terms, life and body. The body is the container for our life. But life is only temporarily housed in the body. Now, there are some essentials to sustaining our earthly existence here that have to do with what the body requires. And so Jesus speaks of food and clothing in this passage. But I don't think He's limiting it to food and clothing. That just sort of tops the list of everything that we need in living out our lives here upon the earth. If you were stranded on a deserted island and you sat down and decided to come up with a list of everything you need to survive on that deserted island, what would top your list? Would it be a chauffeur and a limousine? No. Food, clothing. But everything else falls under that. And the principles that Jesus teaches us about food and clothing, the top of the list, those principles apply to everything on the list. The lesser things that we might require in this life. So in this earthly existence, because we are life and body, we are related to two worlds. We are related to the unseen world of the spirit world, and we're also related to the material world. And I think Jesus assumes this, that his listeners understand this in his discussing these concepts. And so he's saying, because we're related to these two worlds, you have to make a choice. Our life is just temporarily in a physical body. And so this reality about our existence forces us to choose between two worlds. You either choose to lay up treasures on earth, or you choose to lay up treasures in heaven. You see how you're related to both. You either choose to serve mammon, which is a word that just means wealth, or you choose to serve God. Because you're related to both. But you have to make choices, Jesus said. Now, when we're talking about conquering materialism, we're talking about the aspects of this temporary existence in this material world. It's made of matter. It has material. And materialism cannot be defined as having a lot of stuff. That's not what materialism is. Materialism is the preoccupation with accumulation of stuff because you think that's what life consists of. That's the most important thing to you in your life. And so that makes you materialistic. And so Jesus is telling us in this passage, you're going to have to make a choice. A choice between heaven and earth. If you cannot serve both God and mammon, so you have to choose between the two. If you choose mammon, you are materialistic. Jesus wants us to choose God by not laying up treasures on earth, but rather laying up treasures in heaven. But to lay up treasure on earth makes you materialistic. He wants us to choose to trust in God and not be anxious about everything that we need to sustain our lives in this realm. If you're anxious about that, you are materialistic. All of that, Jesus is saying you have to make right choices. Now, I'm going to get to this text eventually, but how do you make choices? Have you ever analyzed that? Let me show you a couple of passages. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good?" Listen to this. "For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. The good man, out of his good treasure, brings forth what is good. The evil man, out of his evil treasure, brings forth what is evil." So we store things in our hearts, and those come out in the actions of our life. Whatever is stored in your heart can be seen in your actions. And so if you've stored up evil in your heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth, or the way you conduct yourself. But when you store up good things as a treasure, then you'll have good things in your actions. Now, the same thing is said in chapter 15, when he's dealing with the Pharisees' accusation about they're not washing their hands. In verse 18, Jesus says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications," all of those sins that Jesus lists there. Now what Jesus is saying is that our choices are made in the heart. And we do two things are true about the heart. Number one, you treasure some things in your heart. Now, to treasure means something is valuable to you. And that's why you hold on to it and you treasure it. And so the heart stores up the things that are most important to you. It seeks out those things and holds on to those things. They become the treasure. But also, we learn in the heart, we store our loyalties. And Jesus speaks of that. No man can serve two masters. He has to choose between one and the other. It's like if I were a slave and I had two masters. And one day, the master number one comes into the bunkhouse where I'm sleeping, you know, so well. And he kicks my bunk and he says, "Orbison, you lazy slave, get out of that bed. And I want you to go out in my cotton field and work all day in that cotton field." So I'm getting up and I'm trying to put on my shoes, and here comes master number two. He kicks my bunk and he says, "Orbison, you lazy slave, you're going to go out into my wheat field and work all day." Now you can't do both, can you? You have to make a choice. That's what Jesus is saying. You cannot serve two masters. And so in your heart, where you store what is most valuable to you, you also store your loyalties. And so Jesus talks here about our treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't serve two masters. You will hate the one, love the other, hold to one, despise the other. These are terms of the heart. In the heart, you store where your loyalties are. Is your loyalty with wealth, the pursuit of mammon, or is it with God? And you have to make a choice. And whatever fills your heart determines the choice that you make. Because what comes out of the mouth came from the heart. In your heart, you store what's most important to you and where your loyalty lies. If you value earthly things more than anything else, then you're going to be storing up, treasuring up, earthly treasures. If wealth is more important to you than God, you're going to choose to serve wealth. So materialism is a choice that's made in the heart, but it's revealed in the body, in the actions that we take. You remember when Jesus was speaking on one occasion, this is found in Luke chapter 18, there was a man in the audience who was a rich ruler. And he speaks out to the Lord and he asks the question, "What do I need to do to have eternal life?" Oh, we like this guy. We like him. "What must I do to have eternal life?" Well, Jesus responds, he's a Jewish man. He says, "Well, you need to keep the law. You need to honor your father and mother. You don't steal. You don't murder. You don't commit adultery." Did you see Jesus lists those commands that are easy to keep? And the man smiles and he just said, "You know, I've been doing that from my youth up." And so he thinks he's got the right answer. He's excited about that. He's a list doer. "Give me a list. Let me do those things and then I'm done with the religion, I'm going to do what I want to." That's what he's after. Well, Jesus gave him that. And then Jesus said, "Oh, there's just one little bitty other thing that you need to do." "What's that?" "Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." "What?" "Sell everything. Give it to the poor." The man walks away sadly, because he was very, very rich. What do you know about this guy? You know his heart. What's stored in his heart? What did he treasure up? What's the most valuable thing to this guy? It's his money. Where does his loyalty lie? It's not with God. You see, on one occasion, he asked a question, but there were two masters speaking to him at the same time. There is God. Can you imagine being there in the presence of Jesus? That is God in the flesh. You ask the question, "What do I need to do for eternal life?" Here it is. God gives it to you. All you have to do is just sell everything. And basically you say, I'll take care of you. But then there's the voice of Mammon saying to this man, you better not. You're going to need to eat tomorrow. What about that steak you had planned tonight? And his loyalty was not with God. Now compare Jesus with that. You know, Jesus was in no way materialistic. He wasn't striving to climb the corporate ladder, which seems to be an obsession to many today. They dedicate themselves to reaching the top. He didn't even own a house. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Luke 9 and verse 58. He doesn't have much money. He once borrowed enough money to pay a poll tax, and he borrowed it from a fish. I guess it was a loan shark. I'm not sure. They had a treasury among themselves, the 12 and Jesus, but out of that they supported their food and what they needed, but they also gave to the poor. And if you look at the lifestyle of those 13 men, you wonder, who is the poor here? They had nothing. When Jesus died, he was wearing the full contents of his closet on his back. And the soldiers took that. He came with nothing. He left with nothing. He was certainly tempted. Remember the wilderness and Satan taking him up, and you could rule over all of these kingdoms. Jesus had the power to be the richest man on planet Earth for all time. But he's not tempted by those things. And that's because we know what's in his heart. What he valued most could not be found on this earth. And his loyalty was with the one who sent him, his own Father. Well, the key to conquering materialism is found here between the statements that Jesus gives about making choices, whether you lay up treasure in heaven or earth, or whether you serve God or mammon. And he has this little statement or two in verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now that used to confuse me, and I thought, well, is he talking about a different kind of eye and different kind of darkness and all of that? Well, not really. The body, if we define the terms he uses here, the body is the physical body, and it is the container of the real you. It's your life. It contains your existence in this earthly realm. A lamp is a source of light, and having light is essential for us to see clearly and make right choices in the direction that we take in life. Without light, we are lost in life. You just think about it. If we didn't have light, we couldn't have found our way up here to this mountaintop almost to be here. Have you had those experiences where you've been in darkness and tripped over things? You can't see them clearly. I remember one time when I was a kid and I was awakened by my brother slamming the bathroom door. He had gotten up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, but he slammed the door. It also woke up my dad, and my dad said, "What is it?" And my brother Charlie said, "I got him." "Got what?" "It's a robber. There's somebody in the house. I got him. He's in the bathroom." By that time, I'm at the door. And Dad says, "Okay, you boys hold the door, and I'll come and we'll get that guy." And so he gets out of bed and walks to his bedroom door, and he sees a man crouched by the door. It's real dark. And so he just says, "As I go by, I'm going to kick this guy and put him out of commission before we go after the next one." And so he hauls and kicks him as hard as he can, but it's not a man, it's a metal chair.
Oh, wow.
Now everybody's awake because Dad's hopping up and down on one foot, yelling. And we're all anxious to open the door to see that burglar in there that my brother called Robert. We open it up, and there he was. My mother had washed her dress and put it, hung it up in front of the window in there, and there's a little light. It's silhouetted. It kind of looked like a person, but it really wasn't. You see, in the dark, you're lost. There has to be light. The lamp of the body that lets in the light is eye. It's your physical eye. It's the way you see things. It's what brings light into your physical existence. Light indicates whether or not we're seeing things clearly, while darkness indicates, well, we're hidden from the reality that's right in front of us. Light reveals what the darkness conceals. Light presents the truth to us. Life is the reality for us. And with light, we can see clearly where everything is. And so we are safe and secure because of light. Now, the condition of your eye determines whether your body or your earthly existence is full of light or darkness. Do you see things clearly? The eye can be healthy, Jesus says, or the eye can be bad. If the eye is bad or it's not healthy, then it's not bringing in enough light, and you're not going to be able to see things clearly. And so it's all going to be obscured by the darkness of this realm. You won't have the right perspective on this realm. The key to conquering materialism is to have a healthy eye. And to have a healthy eye is determined by what fills your heart. Because what fills your heart determines the way you see things. In your heart is what you value most. In your heart is where your loyalties lie. And if your heart has treasured up earthly things, then what kind of light is your eye going to bring in? It's just darkness, really. You're not seeing the reality of things. It's only when we fill our hearts with heavenly things and with loyalty to God that we see everything clearly. We have clear vision. We have light to see the reality.
Amen.
It's amazing to me that two people can look at the same object and see different things. Let me just experiment with you. I'm going to hold up a piece of paper. It's just paper with some printing on it. But the question is, what do you see? Oh, it's the Bible. It's just paper with printing on it. How do you see it? Now, I got another piece of paper. It's just paper with printing on it. But what do you see? Oh, it's a $20 bill. I see lunch tomorrow when I hit up. How do you view this over the other piece of paper? The way you see these things is determined by what you have filled in your heart.
Amen.
What you value the most, where your loyalty lies. And so life is filled with choices, and the choices are determined by what fills our heart, which affects our eye. Are we seeing the reality of things? To conquer materialism, you've got to have a good eye to see everything, to bring in the true light that fills our hearts and determines our loyalties. What do you see? What do you see? So in verse 25, Jesus says, for this reason, we shouldn't be anxious about food and clothing and everything that falls under that list of things that are associated with this realm. If you're anxious about food and clothing, that may indicate what's really in your heart, what fills your heart. and the perspective that you have of this realm. I've got to do this. I've got to take care of things. And this is most important in my life. Well, you're not looking at things clearly. And so Jesus uses a couple of words here that have to do with the eye. In verse 6, he says, look at the birds of the air. And then he asks later, consider the lilies of the field. Take a look. What do you see? Now Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, and yet they are fed. How can they eat if they're not working? Have you ever seen a little robin get up in the morning and come out the back door, and he's got a cup of coffee in his wing, you know, and he's drinking the first cup of coffee and looking around at the day to see what he's got to do? He doesn't do that. Have you ever seen that bird go out into the barn and hop on a John Deere tractor? I'd pay good money to see that, but I've never seen that. Have you ever seen that bird go out and plow a field and then bring in seed and seed that field and then haul in all of that irrigation pipe and water that field? And then when he grows a harvest, he goes out and picks the crop, and now he's got food on the table. Have you ever seen that? No. If you've looked at the birds, you know that God takes care of the birds. Look at the lilies of the field. Have you ever seen a flower pick cotton and then bring that cotton to a spinning wheel and spin it into thread and then take that thread to a loom and weave it into a material and then take that to a sewing machine and sew clothes for itself? No. But they're dressed even finer than Solomon in all of his glory. How does that happen? Well, God's working behind the scenes, taking care of birds and flowers. What do you think God wants to do for you? If He'll do that for the birds and the flowers, don't you think you're worth so much more to God than birds and flowers? O ye of little faith, God is there working in our lives. We work hard, but we trust God, and He provides everything that we need. And so Jesus says, you don't have to be anxious about the things of this realm, because God is on our side. God is working. God is providing for you. And so Jesus says, what should you do? Well, number one, you should seek first His kingdom. You see, that's the priority in life. That means you pursue God before you pursue anything else. You put God before putting food on the table. You put God before your job. You put God before your earthly wants. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. And then He says, you don't be anxious about the future. If you have filled your heart with the right things and your eye is clear and brings in the light and you're seeing the reality of everything, you're going to be trusting in God and He's going to provide you with everything you need. No amount of work today will ensure that you eat tomorrow. And so Jesus says, don't worry about yesterday. You know, God gave us yesterday, but then He took it away from us. It doesn't even belong to us anymore. There's not a thing you can do about yesterday, can you? Can't change any of it. Tomorrow, God may give that to us, but He may not. He's never promised that you've got it tomorrow. You may be gone tonight. All you have is the gift, the present that God gave you. And that's why we call it present. It's today.
Amen.
And so Jesus says, you deal with today. You don't worry about tomorrow. My grandmother used to say, you don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. You have enough to deal with today. And when your eye is clear, you see everything correctly, you'll be able to seek first His kingdom and not be anxious. This world where God has placed you and me is probably the most materialistic nation on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
We live among materialistic people. And if you and I are not careful, we can get caught up in all of that. But remember, I said there's nothing wrong with being rich. All of that, we've been over that. But there's something terribly wrong with being materialistic. Our eggs are not in this earthly basket. We need to seek first His kingdom. Then everything we need will come our way. We're going to sing an invitation song, I'm Resolved to Come. If you have not been living up to the standards of the Lord, and if you're wanting to change your life, we invite you to come and seek help from the Christians that are here. I'll stand up here, and you can make your way up here, and we'll help you in any way that we can. Shall we stand and sing this song?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free, hasten glad and free.
Sermon on the Mount. It's always good to go back and reflect on Jesus' words that He spoke to those that were there that mean as much to us as if we were there on that mount with them at that time. I appreciate those things, and we need to be reminded about the things that we focus on and the material things in our life that we put before God a lot of the time. And I appreciate those, that reminder as well. Let's pray together, and we have about a little over 30 minutes to prepare for that meal together. If you need to go pick it up at your RV or whatever and bring it back up here, it'll be fine. If you need to warm something, I'll see if he's got the gas turned on over here and get that prepared for you as well if you need that. Good. All right.
Rebound me. Father, we are humbled so much to be up here, sequestered from our day-to-day lives, to be able to view the beauty of Your creation. We, Father, are so thankful to you for the blessings that you give us, the ability that we have to be able to serve you without worrying about the daily toils and struggles of life, that we can go about serving you and teaching others about your Son and his sacrifice. We thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity that we have to fellowship with one another, and pray that you'll be with us as we go throughout this, eat this morning, and enjoy each other's company. We thank you, Father, for the bounty that you provide for us, and we pray that you'll bless the hands that prepare the food that we're going to partake of. And we pray that you'll watch over us throughout the rest of this day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.